tell it's Sister Lori. Yes. That's right. Amen. Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Hallelujah, sister. Praise God. Amen, Sister Lori. Well said. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord's good to us. And you can look around and tell the Lord's good to us. And the Lord's been good to this church a long time. And thank the Lord for it. It was a year ago today I stood here for the first time. It's about a year ago this very hour I was standing here preaching about 52 people. And the Lord worked things out over the next couple months. And a year later, we're looking around and seeing the Lord's still up to something. He's still moving. And there's people I'm looking at this morning. You've been saved in the last year. To God be the glory. I'm looking at people the Lord sent us that was hurt and wounded from other places. And the Lord's put you here. And you're healing up. And you're growing in the things of God. And to God be the glory. And some of you's been around here, been through a lot of battles through the years. You've seen a lot of people come, a lot of people go. And you're still here this morning. God's giving you some joy and putting some wind back in your sails. Hallelujah. God's good to us today. And I want to preach on some of that. If the Lord will help me, Acts chapter 2. And boy, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Stand with me if you will. Acts chapter number 2, and I'll read several verses. I want to lay maybe a context and a foundation out of Acts chapter 2, and then we'll spring into some other passages. I don't usually preach the way I'm going to this morning, but it's the way that the Lord has kind of put it together in our hearts. Acts chapter number 2, and in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of," listen to us, "as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" That blows this modern day, amen, unknown tongue language, amen, unknown tongue movement out of the water, amen. On Pentecost, that very first experience of Babel tongues sent from heaven, every man heard in his own language. It wasn't a bunch of jibber jabber. Amen. It wasn't a bunch of, Lord help, it wasn't a bunch of men and women rolling around on the floor barking like dogs. The Bible said they were amazed that they could hear every man in his own language. And I'm not preaching on that this morning, but I figured we'd read down through there and get that swagger crowd good and straightened out. Why are we on it this morning? Amen. I don't care what Jimmy or Donnie says. Amen. We ain't here this morning to get filled with the Holy Ghost and to speak in tongues. Can somebody say amen right there? I'm interested today in verse number 2, where the Bible said, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." Well, Lord, help me. I'm going to go ahead and give you my thought. You can be seated this morning. I don't want to preach on the rushing mighty wind. The rushing mighty wind. Brother Tim, would you stand, pray for me? Pray the Lord to help us this morning. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Please, God. Oh, God, do it. Amen. Thank you, brothers. We've read these verses this morning. I think it's important we set the context of what's taking place. And as we do, we can't help but be reminded of the many teachings of Christ to His disciples concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. As we've read these verses, the Bible said that on this day of Pentecost, when that it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And here you have the church of God. As they've met together, these believers are gathered together with one another. Unity is in the midst of them. And as they're there, the Bible said that there suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We're told in verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And so as we consider what is taking place in Acts 2, we need to be reminded this morning that Christ did promise and this very thing would take place in His earthly ministry in the upper room as He had His disciples gathered there. If you will, look back with me a few chapters in John 14 and let me kind of set some groundwork for what I want to get to this morning. And in John chapter number 14, in the upper room, the disciples are there. And Jesus begins to speak to them. And He's been speaking, but we'll pick up our reading in verse number 16. It's Christ said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, and He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, Because it seeth not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Here we find that Christ is remanding and teaching his disciples that he's going to go away. And in going away, they evidently have shown some sign of being, my friend, discouraged about that thought. And he reminds them that he's going to pray to the Father, that a Father has it all worked out, that he's going to send another that is by the name of Comforter in verse 15, and he's going to send him that he may abide with you and have forever. The Bible refers to him in verse 17 as the Spirit of truth that the world can't see and that the world doesn't know. They're not interested in knowing him. And my friend, they're not trying to know him, but Christ said that you and I and these disciples, that we know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he gave the promise, and shall be in you. And this morning, if you will, look in John 16, and we find here in John 16, the Lord continues his teaching of the disciples here in the upper room on the subject of what takes place in Acts chapter number 2. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Notice what he said in verse 13. I don't have time to expound upon this, but he said, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for ye shall not, he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of man, and shall show it unto you. Let me say something right here as we get ready to move forward in a moment. The Holy Spirit's job today is to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to make much of himself. He's not trying to draw attention to himself. Rather, my friend, he's trying to give the eyes of men and women and boys and girls to see the Lord and to see the truth that's in the King James Bible. Now, Christ said when he comes, he's going to lead you into these things. The Bible said in verse 15, all things in the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And so Christ again is teaching them he's got to go away. He's going to ascend into heaven, but when he ascends into heaven, there's going to be one that is sent in the form of the Holy Spirit. And my friend, he's coming as God manifest, as the Holy Ghost in the lives of believers. And he's going to have a ministry not only in the world but in our lives today. And when we consider Acts chapter number 1, the Lord is getting ready to ascend into heaven. The Bible said in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded, he's speaking of Christ, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for, notice what he said, the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The Bible said in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, and ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. If we'd back up, we'd understand after the Lord had been crucified and buried and raised again, he met again with his disciples in the upper room, and the Bible said that he breathed on them, saith, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And my friend, that's a very, very real experience. I don't have the time to get bogged down, but now, my friend, it's drawing nigh to the very day the Lord is going to send into heaven. And he begins to speak to his disciples, and he says to them, Brother Al, he said, you tarry in Jerusalem, and you wait for the promise of the Father, of the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, the the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, and you wait for Him to come upon you. And He said, I've taught you these things, you've heard these things, and now you've just got to wait for Him to be sent down upon you. Look with me in verse 8. Of Abel said, He said to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts 1:4, Jesus commanded His disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. In verse number 8, we find the evidence that they're to look for to know that the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and said they would receive power and become witnesses of the things that Christ had told them in His earthly ministry. It's interesting to me that when the Lord told on the Holy Ghost and the promise of the Father and the promise of His coming, He never mentioned them fellas that they were going to speak in tongues in what we read here. He didn't mention to them, Ephraim, the things that was going to take place. He just said, you need to wait on Him to come. It's about Him. It's about Him filling your life and Him using your life and working through you. It ain't about you and about your experience. It's about what I'm going to do and give you through the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we come to Acts 2 and verse number 1 and 2, I believe that this is the fulfillment of the teaching and promise of Jesus concerning a ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I know in the upper room He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And my friend, I'm glad today, the day I got saved, the Holy Spirit took up residence in my life. And if you're saved the very day you got saved, thank God you received the Holy Spirit. There's a crowd running around in our day saying, have you received the second blessing? Have you received the second blessing? Have you received the second blessing? I ain't got over the first blessing. Amen. The day that I got saved and the Holy Spirit moved into my life. I'm not my friend. Listen, I'm not trying to get worked up today to get the Holy Spirit on the inside so I can brag about some experience that I've had. Thank God I got all of Him I'm going to get a very day that I got saved. The problem is that, amen, me giving Him all of me, and He can take my life and use me to the glory of God. My friend, here these men and women are gathered together, these disciples and apostles, they're in the upper room in one accord and in one place. And it's interesting to me that as the Lord began to move upon them, and this promise of the Father began to be experienced, the Bible said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It's interesting to me today, as you study the scripture, you'll find the Holy Spirit is symbolized by many things in your King James Bible. Here as we come to Acts 2, we find and is typified as rushing mighty wind. Let me define this for you briefly, and then I'll give you my thought, lay some groundwork, and we'll be done in about 7 or 8 hours. Somebody help me preach. Amen. The Bible said a rushing, the sound from heaven is of a rushing mighty wind. The word wind in this verse simply means breath or to breathe. That at what they experienced in that gathering together on the day of Pentecost, and my friend, it was the breath of God that my friend being breathed down upon them. Here we find it symbolizes, the word wind, it symbolizes to you and that that supernatural sovereign phenomenon of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and His power upon this early church. And can I say, I'm glad that He's been sent. I'm glad the wind blew 2,000 years ago. Amen. We got everything we need. And I know there's debate about when did the church begin. It ain't no debate in my mind. Amen. It began with its founder. Amen. In the earthly ministry of the Lord. Amen. We didn't begin at Pentecost. That's where the church of God and all this charismatic doctrine comes from. Christ started His church. Amen. He died for His church. He paid for His church. He rose again for His church. And the day of Pentecost, the church received the power that it needed to do what God has sent you and I into this world to do. Now this morning, I'm not trying to get hung up there. All I'm saying is the wind blew and we have everything we need in the Holy Ghost to do the work of God. In this iron day, their churches, they're trying their programs and their puppets and their parties and their pizza gatherings. Amen. We got a projector, but we don't use it. Amen. To try to fill the void of the Holy Spirit of God. Can I say, amen, He is all that we need. Amen. Somebody said, what do you got for young people? We got the Holy Ghost preaching. Amen. What do you got for old people? We got Holy Ghost singing. We ain't got a Wallace and Children Church. Amen. Listen. Amen. We've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who fills His church and gives us the power to be able to make an impact in this ungodly day. Amen. The wind is blown. Thank God. Oh, the wind. Notice the word mighty. The Bible describes the wind that blew as mighty wind. Amen. Listen, if it was just wind, amen, the whole world could have sat back and they could have blamed it on a storm front coming through. The King James Bible said it was a mighty wind. The word mighty, it means violent or vehement. Amen. It wasn't a springtime breeze. Are you listening? And the wind began to blow. Amen. It had force behind it. In fact, it's a word, the word mighty, that is used here. It reflects the Holy Spirit's strength and force as He was sent from the Father and the Son upon that early church. And can I say, and we speak of the Holy Spirit today, He's not a weakling and He's not a, amen, He's not an it. I get so sick and tired of hearing the charismatic talk about a Holy Spirit as an it. Amen. Can I say, amen, He's as much God as the Father is. He's as much God as Jesus Christ is. Amen. I'm even getting the place here in my study of the Word of God. I don't even like to hear people refer to Him as the third person of the Godhead. Amen. Who gave you the right to say He's the third? Amen. He's equal with the Father and He's equal with the Son. Amen. And He is filled with as much authority and as much power and as much force as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is. Are you listening today? Amen. And so we got wind and we've got mighty wind. The Bible said, listen, the Bible didn't just say that it was wind or mighty wind. The King James Bible said that there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And the word rushing, listen to this, it means to bring or to carry. It means to bear with the idea of motion or movement. As the Holy Spirit was being sent that day, amen, there was some movement going on. There was some motion going on. Amen, there wasn't deadness. Amen, it wasn't Him. Amen, it wasn't Him coming down in the form of a funeral service. Can I get a witness? There was no eulogies being given. It was a rushing, mighty wind. Oh, that was being ushered. The best picture used to describe the word rushing is that of a ship that is going before the wind. And we got motorized boats in our day. Amen. Evan Rude and Mercury and Honda. We'll get out and we'll rush across. Back in their day, they didn't know nothing about Evan Rude. Amen. All they knew something about was a sail, and they'd hoist a sail, and Brother Tim, that sail, amen, would be raised up into the air, and the wind would get behind that sail, and my friend, that wind would begin to blow and carry whatever was on that ship, whatever provisions, whatever blessings were being sent from one country or another country, had to be carried by rushing mighty wind. Are Are you listening? I said the best way to picture this, amen, is Matthew and goods and provisions and blessings and cargo, amen, that's going to go from one country to the other country, amen, that's got to be carried on a ship, amen, and that ship has to get in front of, amen, some rushing mighty wind. And I say this morning, I think the truth of Acts 2:2 is this, that the Lord sends what He desires to give man through the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you listen to me good and well, they ain't a charismatic, a drop of blood in my body. If I thought there's an ounce of it, amen, in this fair-skinned, red-headed Frank, I'd cut my pinky off and drain every last drop, amen, till I got it out. We're not charismatic, Seth. We don't believe in speaking in tongues, Seth. Amen. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13, that when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part of me done away with, thank God I've got a King James Bible that is perfect, Seth. Amen. And all that in part, you can have it all day long. Amen. But I've got all I need in the Holy Ghost and the King James Bible. So we're not charismatic, said, and yet in our day it seems like we're afraid to touch the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. Can I say we need Him, and it is essential that we understand that the Lord uses the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Ghost to bring to man that which God desires for them to have. Are you listening? God gave to His church that day. Amen. He sent. Amen. He sent. Heaven ship, amen, from one country, His country, amen, down to earth upon that early church in this world, amen, and He sent it, amen, by that ship and those blessings of being moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And this morning I'm preaching on the rushing mighty wind. Thank God for the Holy Spirit today. Now again, we're not looking to flap around, amen, on the floor. We're not looking today, amen, to get caught up in the laughing movement, although there's been some times when, amen, He got so real in my life, amen, and I got filled with Him, amen, that I was overfilled with joy. We deny the laughing movement going on in Florida. I don't know why I'm getting bogged down right here. I think it's because we get so many Church of God folk that come through, amen, and they like my style, but, amen, we ain't on the same page. Are you listening? Amen, and we ain't a changing. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Listen, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Everything I've received, amen, God has given me, amen, by the wind blowing upon my leg. And I showed you four experiences in the Bible, amen, that wind and breath was essential and typifies that which God gives to man, amen, by the Holy Spirit. Will y'all bear with me for a minute? Amen. I promise y'all visiting, man, you think, amen, we got 7 more hours of this man screaming at us. It ain't going to be 7 hours. Hang with me. Amen. Look with me in Genesis chapter number 2. Amen. We have God's account of how that He made man. And if you're looking at there in Genesis 2, amen, one thing is evident, and we understand we didn't come from a prebiotic soup, and we didn't come from a big bang. We were formed by God in God's hand. Abel said, notice with me in Genesis 2, and in verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Amen. Where did man come from? He was formed by the very hand of God out of the dust of the ground. Amen. Some of y'all that think a lot of yourself, you wasn't made out of gold and diamonds and silver. Amen. Man was made out of the dust of the ground. And my friend, one thing is clear in verse 7, that God has formed man, and there he lays. I mean, you look at him and you walk by, and somebody said, what is that? And God says, that's man. All right, man is formed out of the dust of the ground. Brother A.L., all he is dust. All he is a lifeless lump of dirt, a man laying there in the ground. Listen, he can't move, he can't breathe, he can't get up and go eat a steak dinner, amen, he can't go to church, he can't, my friend, do anything. He's a lifeless lump of dirt. Amen. Notice what the Bible said. And God, the Bible said, that God breathed, notice the word breathed, into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. There he is, a lifeless lump, my friend of dirt. Amen. He can't get up. He can't enjoy life. Amen. So what's God do? Amen. God reaches over there and he begins to send the wind. He begins to breathe. The word wind and the word breathe, my friend, oftentimes you'll study it out in the Word of God, you'll find that they come from the same word. And they're translated as the same Hebrew or Greek word. Amen. Where wind is translated, sometimes it's breath. And even if you'll study a word wind, it means to breathe. And so what's God do? God reaches down and kneels down into the dirt and begins to breathe into man. The Bible said, and he breathed into him a breath of life. And what happened? Man became a living soul. Oh, heaven help me. I feel like preaching. You know what I was before I got saved? All I was, a man, was a dead man walking around. I didn't know anything about enjoying life. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know anything about real religion. Amen. There's a big debate about, are sinners really dead? And how dead are they? They ain't but one kind of dead. Are you listening? Amen. And dead is dead is dead is dead. Amen. That old empty dead heart on the inside. Thank God Ephesians 2 said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And all we were and all you are today, if you're lost and never been saved, my friend, is a spiritual, lifeless lump of dirt that's walking around. Nicodemus came to the Lord one day. He said, oh, thou rabbi, thou great teacher, we know that you've been sent from God, because no man can do and teach the things you do and teach except he be sent from God. And Jesus put him on a timeout right there and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And my friend, that shook old Nicodemus down. He said, well, how's a man going to be born? How's he going to be born? You know what Christ was teaching him? You're dead, Nicodemus. You're alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. There's got to be a new birth. It didn't get on Nicodemus. He come back with a pretty good old question. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Hey man, that's a pretty good question after you've been told that you got to be born again. Hey man, what do you mean? And old Nicodemus asked the question of all questions, and Jesus said, hey man, marvel not that are saying to thee, you must be born again. Hey man, and then he began to expound on it, because Nicodemus couldn't understand it, and he looked at him, Gerald, and he said, hey son, a wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't tell where it comes from and where it's going. He said, that's how it is with that crowd that is born of the Spirit. The new birth. Listen, here's my thought today. The rushing mighty wind from God is essential this morning to the raising to life. A raising to life is done at the rushing mighty wind. Thank God today I've been born again. Amen. I didn't come down and sign a card. I didn't make a commitment. Are you listening? I didn't join the church. Amen. I got born again at the rushing mighty wind blowing upon my life. You say, oh, I'm such a good individual, and I'm doing well in life. But if you've never met him, amen, if you've never had an encounter with the Holy Ghost, amen, moving and blowing and breathing on your life, and friend, you've never been born again. Just like Adam was nothing but a form until God. Thank God. Hallelujah. What's today's date? It's today the 14th. 18 years ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody hold my mule. I'm going to pick a pew up and throw it. Amen. Brother A.L., 18 years ago, the wind began to blow in my life.
About 18 years and 2 weeks ago, the Holy Ghost breathed on me and began to show me my need of Christ. Amen. I wrestled and I tried. Amen. To stop the wind, and I'm not preaching irresistible grace. That wind kept blowing, and that wind kept saying, turn to Him, turn to Calvary, turn to God, repent of your sin, believe on the Lord. Thank God, 18 years ago to this very day, a 17-year-old boy rolled out of his bed, an old lifeless lump and nothing. Amen. But thank God the wind blew, and the wind brought life, and the wind, thank God, brought, amen, the life that is necessary for the new birth. Amen. Bless His name. I'm born again. Are you listening? It's a bunch of trash coming out of Bible colleges and different groups of just raise your hand. Do you want to be saved? Just raise your hand. Oh, hogwash, if the wind ain't a blowing. If the wind ain't a blowing, I'm glad He is blowing. I'm glad He's blowing. He's blowing. He's blowing to death. A mighty rushing wind still raises to life. Amen. I mean a born-again experience. A born-again encounter where the wind begins to blow. I'm talking about you get over who daddy is. You get over who mama is. You get over who your preacher is. Amen. And the Holy Ghost meets you where you are and say, you nothing without Him. You nothing without Him. You're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to stand before God one day. What are you going to do to escape the damnation of hell? Oh, can I say today, thank God the wind still blows and the wind still raises men and women and boys and girls to life. He's essential to the raising of life. Number two, over there in Genesis 8, in verse number 1, the Bible said, and the Lord remembered Noah. If you'll study that passage, you know in chapter number 6, that God comes down, tells Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. He finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he tells Noah to do something that's never been done. And he builds this big old boat, this big ark boat, that's the length of 3 football fields. 3 stories in it. And there's a door in the side and one window out the top. Amen, that's a good picture. Salvation ain't but one, amen, one way in and there's one way out. Praise God, hallelujah. And God said, no, I ain't got time to bog down. I'm feeling so good. Praise God, I've been saved 18 years. You leave me alone today. Amen, I'm going to run all day long. I'm glad. Amen, I got in the door and I'm going out the window. But my friend God said to Noah, you come on in. And the Lord shut the door. The rain began to fall. It rained and it rained and it rained. Now, how'd you like to be Noah? Now, listen, he's done all God said to do. But he wasn't told how long he was going to be in that ark. When you come to Genesis 8 and verse 1, he's been in there over 150 days, floating up and down, hearing the thunder crash, hearing the waves beat against the boat, probably heard it twisting and probably heard cracking. And you imagine the smell in that place after 150 days? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Here they are sailing out. Now, it'd be human nature, but Gerald, it'd be human nature for us to ask, Lord, have you forgot about me? Lord, do you care? You put me on this boat and all I'm getting is ups and downs and ins and outs and getting thrown from side to side. And Lord, seems like all there is a big old storm. And I mean day after day after day. And week after week after week, over 150 days, Noah, hey man, maybe his wife said, Noah, are you ever going to get us out of here? And Noah said, oh woman, I don't know when we're going to get out of here. Hey man, shut up, I'm going to throw you overboard. And my friend, I imagine they're at each other, but my friend in the night, oh Noah said, Lord, have you forgotten about us? Oh Lord, we've just been doing what you've been telling us to do. The Bible said in Genesis 8, would. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. And God remembered Noah. Had to give Noah a sign that he had been remembered in the storm. He caused the wind to begin to blow. Amen. Have you ever been there in life and you walk with God? Amen. Where you needed the reassurance of love. Amen. To make it through. Have you ever been there now? You can take your halo off. Amen. Hallelujah. You ain't got as big a wings as you think you do. There's times I wonder, God, what are you doing? God, I'm just trying to follow you. It seems like all I get is up and down. All I get is storms. All I get is beat down. I'm glad that and there's times it can be said, and God remembered Jeff. Amen. And has he give us a reassurance that he hadn't forgot? How does he give us the reassurance that he really loves us? He sends the wind to begin to blow. Have you ever been there? Hallelujah. And you didn't know how you was going to make it. Amen. And saying, God, do you care? Amen. And out of nowhere, maybe in a service, maybe in a prayer room, amen, maybe in your private time with God, maybe riding down the road, weeping your ass out, a wind began to blow, and the Holy Ghost showed up, and he began to tell you and reassure you that God does love you. Boy, ain't nothing like that, Brother A.L. There's been days I didn't know how much longer it was going to go on, and God say, and the rushing mighty wind settle my soul and let me know it's all going to be okay. Amen. Hallelujah. How many days have you been there? Or my friend, you thought I'm going to die where I am. But God remembered you, and God, amen, sent the promise and the Father and the wind blew. And you said it's all going to be okay. The rushing mighty wind. Got to have him. For the raising to laugh, for the reassurance of love. Notice this with me. For the road to liberty, you've got to have the wind blowing. Over in the book of Exodus, Israel's been in bondage for over 600 years. They began to cry by reason of their affliction. The Bible said that the Lord heard their cry. God, my friend, through sovereign ways began to move there in the land of Egypt. And Moses, he spends the first 40 years of his life, he spends it there. Brother Dean, growing up in Egypt, he spends the next 40 years of his life, amen, on the run and in a wilderness where God meets him at a burning bush and said, I'm going to use you and I'm going to send you back. And you go in and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Through a long series of events and 10 plagues, amen, the blood of lambs were shed all through the land of Egypt, where Pharaoh and Egypt literally thrust Israel out of the land. And they when they went out, they didn't just go out, they raided all that Egypt had. The Bible said they come out harnessed. That means they come out in ranks of five with their hands up. 1 million or better Israelite Jews coming up out of the land, coming up out of Egypt, shouting the victory that they had been set free from the bondage. Great, wonderful tale of how sinners are saved by the blood of the Lord and how we're set free by, amen, the power of God is the one that breaks us loose out of the trouble we have with sin. They're making their way out, and all of a sudden God hardens the heart of Pharaoh again. Pharaoh said, what in the world have we done? And he assembles a great army and they take off. And Israel makes it the Red Sea and they look back and they see Pharaoh come and they begin to murmur against Moses and say foolish things like, it'd have been better off for us to die back there than to be led out this far and to die. Son, they're talking about stoning Moses. They're talking about our friend going back into bondage. And Moses says, y'all leave me alone for a minute. He goes down there to the banks of the Red Sea. He looks up into heaven and says something like this, Lord, this crowd's going to kill me. Lord, I've done everything you've told me to do. We've done everything you've said to do. And now Pharaoh's coming. We're going to be drugged back into bondage. The Lord said, stand still, Moses, and see the salvation of the Lord. Son, he comes up shouting off the bank, said, hey, I got a word from God. God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that crowd kind of settles down, and Moses steps out over the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible said that the wind began to blow. The old Red Sea began to peel back like a sardine can. Opened up a pathway. And Israel, the Bible said, now you wouldn't believe it unless it's in the Bible, but the Bible said they walked over on dry ground. One old theologian, too smart for his own britches, said, well, that wasn't the Red Sea. The Bible got it wrong. It was the Reed Sea. He said, the Reed Sea, it was only 3 or 4 inches of water. Said they's going to walk across. That's where they got across. Ain't no way you can believe that they walked across on dry ground at the Red Sea. Well, you can if God said they did. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Yes, sir. One old boy heard that professor say that one day, and he started shouting the glory and running an aisle. And the professor said, didn't you hear what I say? It wasn't a miracle. They walked across on 3 to 4 inches of water. He said, oh, that's an even greater miracle. Pharaoh and all his army drowned in less than 6 inches of water. I don't care how you look at it, son, God did something. Amen. And son, they thought they're going back into bondage. They're going to be drugged back. Amen. Can I read the verse to you? Amen. Y'all hang with me. I'm about dead. Notice with me, Exodus 14. Exodus chapter number 14 and in verse number 21. The Bible said, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Literally, as the wind blew, the waters gelled themselves together, and the ground was dry. And God said, you're not going back where I brought you out of. And he sent the wind to lead them and to guide them down the road, amen, to Christian liberty, amen, where they're absolutely set free on the old life that he saved them out of. Thank God, can I say, when I got saved, I had something to shout about. And it wasn't long till the old nature and the old crowd wanted to call you back. But thank God we've been given the wind and leads you and I down a road to liberty. Amen. Liberty from sin. Amen. The liberal says we have liberty to sin. Oh, foolish. The Bible said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You say, preacher, I'm being pulled on by sinful temptations. I'm being led. I'm being drawn into some areas that I know are wrong. What I need to do, you need to get hold of the rushing mighty wind. It leads you down a road of liberty where you won't have to sin anymore. We do sin, but we don't have to sin when we follow the rushing mighty wind. Yeah, man, somebody said, I've got a problem with cussing. Well, if you'll get in tune to the rushing mighty wind, he'll set you free from that. Yeah, man. Preacher, I just can't lay them down. Preacher, I just don't know how to get victory over it. If you get in tune to the rushing mighty wind, ain't God he can set you free. I ain't got no program to tell you how to do it. I ain't got no course, no lessons. Oh, amen, 60 days to a smoke-free, dip-free, tobacco-free life. All I know is if you'll get a hold of the Holy Ghost, amen, the rushing mighty wind knows how to set you free. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, I've got this addiction and that addiction, and I'm drawn to this and that. Amen. What you need to do, amen, is go spend a little time alone with the Lord and let the rushing mighty wind begin to blow. Hey, that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Hey, God, I'm glad there is a road to liberty shown by the rushing mighty wind. Amen. Amen. You can have victory today. We've been preaching a lot about victory. You can have victory over sin. You can have victory over anything through the power of the rushing mighty wind. Everybody okay? Lord, y'all better not get mad about the tobacco preaching. Amen. I pastored over around Winston for 13 years, preached the same thing over there. Amen. And had people that worked at R.J. Reynolds and still preached it. And dared them to get mad about it. Everybody okay? Just thought I'd say that. God can set you free. Amen. He can set you free. Set you free from anything. Amen. We got all this AA business. And now we got the RA, Reformers Unanimous, or whatever, RU. Amen. They got their Christian forms of all of it. Amen. Can I tell you how to get set free from sin? I'm not against getting help in groups and things like that. But if you do it without Him and the rushing mighty wind blowing, it won't last 30 days. How do you take somebody that has lived their whole life being a dope head and a pill head, addicted to pain medication? Amen. And we got people sitting in our churches addicted to pain medication. Y'all do know that's a sin, don't you? Amen. Oxycodones. Bless your heart. Amen. We might as well preach on all of it. Amen. Hooked on stuff. We're dealing with things in our day that preachers, this dear man of God's with us today. I don't know how long you pastored and preached, but amen, probably things when he started that we're dealing with things today he'd have never dreamed would have been issues in our day. And I say it's still the answer. It's always been for the child of God. We must do it through Him. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a road to liberty from the things it bogs down. Amen. Pain medication. You know, you take somebody that's been in that all their life and they get saved. What is it that they just stop? It's that rushing mighty wind. I've heard Sister Lori, she testified a little bit this morning. I've heard her testify before about what she used to be before God saved her and how she got saved and the Holy Ghost moved in and saved. And she had the victory that she needed that she never could quit before. You say, I'll quit any old time I want to. Well, how about today? The reason you won't quit today is because you can't quit today. Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. What we need there, amen, old-fashioned, old-time move of God where the mighty rushing wind begins to blow again and we lay it all out on the altar and say, God, I can't do it in myself. I need your help. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Well, I don't know how I got bogged down on all this. Everybody okay? I got 4 or 5 still with me. Ezekiel 37, God sends Ezekiel down to a valley. He said, tell me what you see. What do you see, man of God? God opened his eyes. Brother Larry, Ezekiel said, Lord, all I see is, here's what he said, I see a valley of an army full of bones. You know what God was letting Ezekiel see? There were some people that used to be in the battle, used to have swords and shields in their hand, that used to be serving in the army and be, my friend, fighting the fight. Now their swords have fallen, their shields have fallen, and now it's just full of bones. God said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Y'all see this over in chapter 37, Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Ezekiel said, oh Lord God, thou knowest. He said, it looks like it's more. Hallelujah. It's more than I can do. They're in worse shape than I can do anything with. Hallelujah. Lord, they look too dead for me to do anything. Only you know if they can ever live again. They used to be on fire. They used to have life. They used to swing their swords. They used to be moving. They used to be serving. They used to be active. But Lord, now they're just dead. He said, preach at them a little bit. Ezekiel said, I started prophesying. Said, I began to prophesy. And the longer I prophesied, he said, God told me to command the wind to begin to blow. He said, so I just stood up and said, come on, breath. Breathe. The longer he preached, the Bible said sin, you began to be grown back on that bones. My friend, those old bones began to get some meat on. That's what preaching will do for you. Amen. Preaching will put meat on your bones. That's why we emphasize preaching. Amen. Amen. Well, that's why I ain't coming in here in a tie-dye shirt with a bar stool and a guitar. Amen. And a fluffy haircut. Because you don't need that. You need preaching. Amen. Amen. And the longer he preached, Sister Pat, the more muscle began to grow on them bones. Preaching and prophesying can only take them so far. Amen. He said, come, O breath, and breathe upon his bones. And that wind began to blow. Amen. And they began to get life, and they jumped up on their feet. Amen. And Ezekiel said, they were an exceeding great army, and marched forward and got back in the battle. And I say today, you may be here, and life be gone out of you. You've laid your sword down. Amen. You've drawn up. You've died on God. What you need today is the wind to blow again. The wind to blow again. Hallelujah. You know what I like about what God's doing here? He's blowing on us. A year ago, I stood up here and looked out, and people didn't know what they were going to do. All y'all knew is, Lord, we need your help. Some of y'all's dried up. You's dead. Amen. The wind started blowing again. You've known about it in the past. It didn't come because I showed up. It's something been around here all the time, but it's blowing and it's getting up back in our sails. It's filling us up, Brother Mark. People raising their hand again. People saying, amen, that's right. People that was dragging their tracks out a year ago are now skipping in. Can't wait to get here. Hallelujah. Sis, you know what it is? It's the wind blowing. It's the wind blowing. It revives. It revives. Are you listening? It revives those that just get low in strength. The rushing mighty wind. Roger, you just got saved, man. You know what God did the day he saved you? He just kind of breathed a little bit more life into the church. Amen. Every soul that gets saved, Brother William, it's just it's like you give me a shot of B12 all over again. It's like you just dump a 24-ounce can of Red Bull down my throat and it just charges me up. Amen. So what are you saying? I'm saying, thank God the wind still blows. Amen. I wouldn't go to no dead church. You've been busy in a few weeks. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't go to no dead church. I ain't raising my youngins in a dead church. I ain't saying we always got to be swinging from the lights and jumping pews, but I ain't going somewhere where the wind ain't allowed to blow. Amen. Boy, I'm feeling good, Brother Tim. I'm going to get you to pray for me more often before I preach. Over in Paul's ministry, we got our problem is, Brother L, we got them wind blockers. Over there in Paul's days, preaching, Bible said he's doing what I'm doing this morning after he preached a long while. Preached all night long. As a young man by the name of Eutychus went up there and got in the window, got blocking the breeze. You know what we don't need around here? People blocking the breeze. Can I just preach to my church for a minute? Don't need no breeze blockers. You say, what's a breeze blocker? A breeze blocker is somebody, all they can see is what they don't like. They can't see all that the Lord's doing when the wind's blowing. And so they go sit in the wind. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't understand this. Amen. Whoa! You know what you are? You're a breeze blocker. And you better go read over Eutychus. Amen. Eutychus fell out the wind and broke his neck and died. Woo! We have my time. Lord, have mercy. Matt, it ain't always like this around here. Amen. Don't need no breeze. And we ain't got none far as I know. Amen. You know what you ought to do every now and then? A breeze blocker raises up. Either go to them and jerk them in. If that don't work, just give them a little elbow out the window. Amen. I'm for it. Acts 2, watch this. When the rushing mighty wind blows, there are miraculous things that take place that you can never explain and get so far bigger than you that you'll never get glory from it. All you have to do is say, thank God the wind blew. Thank God the wind blew. Boy, we're blessed here this morning, church. Sister Candy's beginning to play. Stand with me. I want to open the altar. We as a church probably ought to get on the altar and say, Lord, thank you for letting the wind blow. Thank you, Lord, for letting the wind blow again. Maybe he's been doing some special things for you. Be all in order. Get on this altar and say, to God be the glory. The wind's blowing again. Anybody here this morning? Nobody's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. We got church folk, most of the church folk coming. If you're busy and you're free to come, get on this altar and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting the wind blow in my life. However he's touched you, you just thank him for it. Would there be one anywhere this morning? Say, Pastor Jeff, please pray for me. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. I've never had the wind of the Holy Spirit blow in my life to the point where I was born again. Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Is there one anywhere today? Would there be a father, a mother, a son or daughter, a grandparent anywhere that would say, Pastor Jeff, I need your prayers. I've never been born again. One anywhere? Anywhere at all in the building? God bless you, ma'am. Amen. Sissy, get your Bible and help her. Amen. There's one this morning. There'd be another. Say, preacher, please pray. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm born again. Please pray for me. One anywhere? Is there one anywhere this morning? How many say, preacher, I need your prayers. God's dealt with my heart about some things today. Just uplift your hand. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand. You too, ma'am. God bless you. Is there another? Pastor, please pray for me. God spoke to my heart. Some things I need to deal with. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Glad you're here today. Is there another? Pastor, please pray for me. I really need some help from the Lord. He spoke to my heart. I need to deal with some things. I'm going to pray here in a second. You mind the Lord. If you've raised your hand, you can come talk to the Lord about it. He'll help you. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness and grace. I want to thank you that you're in charge and in control. We bless you today for the promise of the Father. It's been sent. Lord, we're glad we're not comfortless. We're very comforted. Lord, we're thankful today we're not alone. We have the Spirit of truth. Father, today I'm so thankful for His working in our life. And Lord, how that, Lord, you use the Spirit of the Lord to raise us to life. Use the Spirit of the Lord oftentimes since we've been saved to reassure us of your love. Lord, you've led us down roads of liberty and set us free from things that, Lord, got their hooks in us. Lord, we have victory and power today by the working of the Spirit of God, the rushing mighty wind. And then, Father, today, we're so thankful for the reviving times that come in our life when we're low. Lord, when we don't feel like we can fight another day. Lord, when we just lay down. Lord, I'm so glad you send revival, and Lord, you work in our lives to help us. Bless you today. Lord, be with these that have raised their hands. Whatever their needs are, whatever you've spoken to them about, I pray, Lord, that you would help them. Lord, give them wisdom to deal with those things. And then these that are here that are not saved, I pray that you deal with them. Show them their need of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While these are praying, no one's looking around. Lord's a moving today. Believe the winds are blowing. Thank God the wind still blows. Lord.